الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we had read the introductory chapter. The author he mentioned in the beginning of this concise work, رحمه الله تعالى, فرض طالب العلم, the obligation of seeking knowledge, the obligation of seeking knowledge. And we have seen that the author, he mentioned an issue in the religion, and that issue is found here in the chapter title, and that is that seeking knowledge is an obligation. That seeking knowledge is an obligation incumbent upon every Muslim. Incumbent, an obligation upon every Muslim. And likewise, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he coupled this mas'ala, this issue here, with the evidence clarifying that ruling. With the evidence clarifying that ruling, and that is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhuma, which is muttafaqun alayhi, meaning that it's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. This is a great benefit, clarifying that this is from the most authentic narrations that have been collected and reported, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he mentions that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi al-din." Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi al-din. That whomsoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him an understanding in the religion. That whomsoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him an understanding in the religion. In our previous class, we had read what the author he mentioned in the clarification of this and some benefits with regards to that. But Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajr, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned some very important benefits with regards to this narration likewise in Fath al-Bari. He mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, yufaqihhu fi al-deen, yufaqihhu, referring to this word here that's being used. He says, ay yufahimhu, meaning that he's clarifying the meaning of this word al-fiqh. The word al-fiqh, it has the meaning of al-fahm, to understand. The word al-fiqh, it means al-fahm in the Arabic language, to understand. Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi al-deen, ay yufahimhu. Ay yufahimhu fi al-deen. He will grant him understanding. He will grant him understanding. He mentions some benefits with regards to this term here, this word, particularly the verb. And this also clarifies for us the richness and the beauty of the Arabic language. He says, يُقَالُ فَقُوهَا بِالضَّمْ إِذَا صَارَ الْفِقْهُ لَهُ سَجِيَّةً وَفَقَهَا بِالْفَتْحِ إِذَا سَبَقَ غَيْرَهُ إِلَى الْفَهْمِ إِذَا سَبَقَ غَيْرَهُ إِلَى الْفَهْمِ وَفَقِهَا بِالْكَسْرِ إِذَا فَهِمَ إِذَا فَهِمَ. So he's mentioning here لغات العرب في هذه اللفظة, mentioning here the different languages that have been reported with regards to the Arab in this one particular term. And if we pay attention, the issue now is revolving around Aynul Karima, and this is with regards to the science of As-Sarf, and learning the morphology. We're not going to go into detail in that. Those who are interested in this affair, they will join us bi'idhnillahi ta'ala in our classes studying the Arabic language. But the point is now that this word comes in three different manners. It can be read in three different manners. Faquha and faqaha and faqiha. So the qaf, which is the Aynul Karima, it can have a dhamma or a fatha or a kasra. It can have a dhamma, faquha, or it can have a fatha, faqaha, or can have a kasra, faqiha. And he's clarifying here, likewise, that each one of these pronunciations, of this word, it has a different meaning. So this is showing us the beauty of the Arabic language. And each one of these is from a different bab, and it has a different means to conjugate. So when you say faquha, you say faquha yafquhu, faqahatan. And then when you say faqaha, you say yafquhu. And then whenever you say faqiha, you say faqiha yafqahu. Faqiha yafqahu. So faquha is a different meaning than faqaha, and faqaha and faquha are different meanings than faqiha. Yet all of them, they're from al-fiqh. And the Arabic language is like this. It's called al-ishtiqaq. Al-ishtiqaq means that the words are derived from each other. they're derived from each other. They're source words that have rich, vast meanings that other words are derived from them that contain or carry a similar meaning as the origin. And this is from the beauty of the Arabic language. And likewise, the Arabic language, it has scales. It has scales. So these scales here are with regards to the Abwab al-Fayl al-Thurathi al-Majarrad. And this brothers who study with us, they're aware of these affairs, alhamdulillah. Faquha, when you say faquha, sarar thiqhu lahu sajiyya. If you say faquha thuran, meaning that fiqh has become like a natural disposition for him. It's very easy. It's very easy. It's become like his natural trait. It comes easy and natural for him. The issues of fiqh and jurisprudence and understanding and comprehending the affairs in general, specifically with regards to the religion, then it becomes something that's like it's natural for him, it's easy for him. It becomes like a part of his manners, a part of his conduct. You say faqha fulan yafquhu, meaning that now this fiqh, this knowledge of the religion, this understanding of the deen, becomes like a part of him. It's very easy and facilitated for him. So this is one meaning. The other meaning, faqaha with the fatha, he said sabaqa ghayrahu ila al-fahm, that when you say faqaha, this means to precede others in understanding, to precede others in understanding. So if the teacher, for example, he asked a question about an issue in the religion, and then the students are looking around at each other, they're thinking about the answer, and then suddenly one of them he answers. And he mentions the answer and it's wrong. And another, he tries to answer and it's wrong. And then one of them, he answers correctly. The first one to answer correctly, you say, faqaha fulan. Faqaha talib al-fulani. Yani sabaqa ghayrahu al-fiqh. And he means now that he understands well, and he understands quickly. And he precedes others in understanding. This is whenever you say faqaha. But whenever you say faqiha, whenever we say faqiha with the kasra, this simply means to understand. It means fahima. The fahima. You say faqiha bimana fahima. Waznan wa ma'nan. It has the same scale and the same meaning. Faqiha yafqahu ifqah fiqhan. Fiqhan. Wal fiqh huwa al fahm. Wal fiqh huwa al fahm. So general understanding is called fiqh. And Allah, He mentioned in His book in many places about the hypocrites specifically, la yafqahun. La yafqahun, they have no fiqh. Meaning they don't understand. La yafhamun, la yafhamun ad-deen. They don't understand the religion. They don't understand the creed. They don't understand the tawheed. They don't understand the affairs that were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fahum la yafqahun. Fahum la yafqahun. So therefore they have no fiqh. Waliyadhu billah. This is from the traits of the hypocrites. Annahum la yafqahun. And this is a blameworthy trait likewise. That they don't have fiqh. And the deen, they don't understand. They don't understand. So this is the meaning of this word he's mentioning here. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he continuing in the commentary, explanation of this hadith, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid deen. Man yuridillahu bihi khayran. He says, wa nukira khayran liyashmala al-qalila wal-kathir. والتنكير للتعظيم لأن المقام يقتضيه. So here the word خيران, all of these benefits here, they're فوائد لغوية. He's abstracting these benefits here from understanding the Arabic language. Another encouragement to strive to learn the Arabic language. And I emphasize not to learn about the Arabic language, but to learn the Arabic language. To strive with one's time and one's effort and one's mind, his body, and with one's wealth to learn the Arabic language. Not to learn about the Arabic language. To learn the Arabic language till a person, he speaks that language fluently. And he understands it clearly. And it becomes a language that he knows. There's a major difference between somebody who is studying to learn the Arabic language and somebody who is studying and learning about the Arabic language. and learning about the Arabic language. A good sign that will clarify this for some people, that if their teacher is teaching them as much as possible in the Arabic language, then have glad tidings, inshallah, they're on the way to learning the Arabic language. But if they have a teacher who's teaching them everything in English, then they should know that they're only learning about the Arabic language, and they will never learn the Arabic language in English. It will not happen. It cannot happen. Somebody cannot learn to be fluent in a language other than that language. Other than that language. So maybe somebody will learn some things about the Arabic language. He will learn some things about grammar. He will learn some vocabulary words, but he will never truly learn how to speak fluently and to read correctly and to understand what he's reading and to respond to questions and to answer and to be fluent in that language until he learns that language in that language. And this is the way to learn the Arabic language. So this is very important. This is very important. Al-lugha al-arabiyya min ad-din. It's from the religion. The Arabic language is from the religion. And it's from the way of the Muslims that they learn the Arabic language. And wherever they go, they carry that with them. They carry that with them. And the Salaf, rahimahumullah, whenever they traveled through the lands and whenever they made great conquests, they brought with them the deen, first and foremost. And along with that, the language of the deen. And they taught the people the Arabic language and taught them the deen in this manner likewise. And no doubt it's been mentioned that Umar, radiallahu anhu, whenever he would be in Sham and other lands and the likes like this, he would give a khutbah. He would give the khutbah, he would give sermons, he would give speeches, and he would have a reliable and trustworthy person with him to translate to the people and their language and the likes like this. But along with that, they taught them the language. They taught them the language. They taught them the Arabic language until now. In these days, though, the Arabic language is the languages of those peoples. And it has been the language of those people for generations. For generations. The point is that the Salaf, the Sahaba, and the Tabi'un, radiallahu anhum, and those after them, whenever they traveled through the lands, and whenever they conquered the lands, and whenever they opened the lands, they also opened the hearts, and they taught the people the Arabic language from the means of raising the people from ignorance and getting them far away from misguidance and helping them and aiding them and cultivating them upon khair, is that they're taught the Arabic language. That somebody who will be diligent to teach them, to sit with them, to help them to learn the Arabic language. So we should strive in this. We should take advantage of the means that we have today. We should take advantage in all of the means that we have today, from airplanes and trains and cars and automobiles to computers and cell phones and devices and live broadcasts and likewise recordings and whatever one he can find in learning his religion and in learning the Arabic language. And learning the Arabic language, no doubt, is from learning their religion. It's from learning their religion. So he says, وَنُكِّرَ خَيْرًا لِيَشْمَلَ الْقَلِيلَ وَالْكَثِيرَ وَالْتَنْكِيرَ بِالْتَعْظِيمِ. So the word خَيْرًا, for those students in the Arabic language, they know that this is ismun, nakira. It's nakira, right? How do you know it's nakira? Tanween. It has tanween. خَيْرًا. خَيْرًا. The scholars, they see the likes of these affairs in these contexts, and they derive great benefits from that. So he's saying here that the word is mentioned in an indefinite form here, nakira, in order to indicate that what is included, a small or a large amount of knowledge. A small or a large amount of knowledge. If a person, he was even granted only a small amount of understanding in the religion, this is a sign Allah wants good for him. If he was granted a large amount of understanding in the religion, this is no doubt a sign that Allah wants good for him. So the khayr here, whomsoever Allah wants good for, and he doesn't. It's not definite. It's indefinite. It's nakira. So this is to indicate whether a small amount or a large amount. All of this is included. All of this is included. A small amount of knowledge and good and sound understanding. A large amount of good and sound understanding. All of this is included as a sign that Allah, he wants good for somebody. And also the word khayran is indefinite in here to indicate status, to indicate greatness. That man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran, whomsoever Allah wants good for. Yani to magnify, to emphasize, to be like to make ta'zim here, to venerate the affair, to clarify that, you know, the one who has knowledge, that Allah, he wants good for him. He wants good for him. It's not just a statement like whomsoever Allah wants good for, like it's nothing. La man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran. Whomsoever Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he wants good for, he'll grant him understanding in the deen. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. He says, rahimahullah, وَمَفْهُومُ الْحَدِيثِ. وَمَفْهُومُ الْحَدِيثِ. And the understanding of this narration. This, the understanding of this narration, أن من لم يتفقه في الدين أي يتعلم قواعد الإسلام وما يتسر بها من الفروع فقد حرم الخير. فقد حرم الخير. That what is understood from this narration, what is understood from this narration, that the one who does not strive to seek an understanding in the religion, meaning he does not learn the principles and foundations of Islam and that which is coupled with that from the subsidiary affairs that are very important, then he has been prohibited and forbidden from all goodness. We look at his words here, rahimahullah, he says the meaning, mafhum al-hadith. The people of knowledge, they say the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, they have a mantuq and a mafhum. They have al-mantuq wal-mafhum. The mantuq is that which the text clearly establishes directly. The understanding of the text that is clear and direct. Like here, it says it very directly. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, then he will grant him an understanding in the religion. Therefore, the one who has been granted an understanding in the religion, this is a sign that Allah wants good for him. This is the mantuq al-hadith. This is what is clearly understood directly from the narration. But also there is mafhum. There's the mafhum. Some of the scholars, they call it mafhum al-mukhalafa. Others, they call it dalil al-khitab. Dalil al-khitab. It's the understanding that's derived from there. The opposite understanding that's derived from there. The opposite understanding that's derived from there. So if the clear understanding is that whomsoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him understanding in the religion, then the opposite understanding of that, or that which is understood from that evidence, is that whomsoever Allah did not want good for, he will not grant him understanding in the religion. We understand. This is his point. So he's saying now the good here is coupled with this issue now of having understanding in the religion. So he says, I'll read it again, ومفهوم الحديث. What is the understanding of the hadith? يعني مفهوم المخالفة أو دليل الخطاب. What is derived and understood from this now? أن من لم يتفقه. The one who himself, he did not strive to gain an understanding. Right? Because he didn't say the one whom Allah did not grant an understanding. So now he says, so therefore the one who did not strive to gain an understanding. The one who did not strive to gain an understanding. This is also Allahu Akbar from the fiqh and the deen. From the fiqh and the deen, from the understanding of these evidences. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. That knowledge is only by way of learning. Is only by way of learning. So know that it is Allah who grants one an understanding. But what does that mean? That means that Allah azza wa jalla will place it in his heart and he will make the sciences of Islam become beautiful. He'll make the deen of Islam become beautiful to him and very interested. He will adorn it in his heart and he will love it and he will be devoted to it and he will strive to learn about it. He'll strive to learn about it. He'll find time to read and to research and to look and to sit in classes and to ask questions and to study and to review and to research and the likes like this. This is how he will get an understanding in the religion. It's not going to be revealed to him like the messengers and prophets alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Rather, the understanding that Allah will bestow upon him will come by him taking the means. Will come by him taking the means. So this is what he's referring to. ومفهوم الحديث أن من لم يتفقه في الدين. What does that mean? And the understanding of the narration that's derived from the narration, the one who does not strive to get an understanding in the religion, he clarifies what this means likewise. أي يتعلم قواعد الإسلام وما يتسر بها من الفروع. He doesn't strive to gain an understanding in the religion, meaning he does not seek knowledge of the foundation, fundamentals of Islam, and that which is coupled to them from the subsidiary affairs that are of utmost importance. Yani for the establishment of the deen, for him to establish the obligations that are upon him. Then فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرِ. Then he has been forbidden all good. He has been prohibited from all good, meaning he has failed and lost, and he's a loser, regardless of how much money he has. Regardless of how much rank or status he has, regardless of his tribe or his position in society, regardless of his father's name or his grandfather's name, regardless of where he's from, regardless of how many people give him a thumbs up on Facebook, regardless of how many followers he has on Twitter, regardless of all this, if he did not strive to gain an understanding in the religion, then he's been forbidden and prohibited from all goodness. From all goodness. The sign that Allah wants good for someone is that he will grant him an understanding in the religion. To emphasize this, he mentions rahimahullah. He says, وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَ أَبُوْ يَعْلَى رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ حَدِيثَ مُعَاوِيَةَ مِنْ وَجْهٍ آخَرَ ضَعِيفٍ. من وجه آخر ضعيف وزاد في آخره. And also Abu Ya'la al-Musiri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 307 from the scholars of hadith. He has a great work called Musnad Abi Ya'la. So he says that Abu Ya'la, rahimahullah, he has narrated this hadith likewise from another wording, another chain of narration from Muawiyah also, but it is weak. But it is weak. The chain that he has is weak. He says, and there's an addition in this wording, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَفَقَّهْ فِي الدِّينِ لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And whoever did not strive to gain an understanding in the religion, then Allah has no care for him. Then Allah has no care for him. He says, وَالْمَعْنَى صَحِيحِ. The meaning is correct. So he affirmed in the beginning that there's another wording of this hadith, clarifying what he's mentioning. Although the chain of this wording is weak, the understanding and the meaning derived from there is correct. Is correct. The wording, the extra wording that's in that chain of Abu Ya'la, rahimahullah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَفَقَّهْ فِي الدِّينِ لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And whoever did not seek an understanding in the religion, then Allah has no care for him. Then Allah does not care about him whatsoever. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then Allah does not care about, Allah does not love him. Allah does not want good for him. That's the meaning of the narration. He says, rahimahullah, وَالْمَعْنَى صَحِيحِ. And the meaning here is correct. And even though the chain is weak, the meaning is correct. لِأَنُّهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ أُمُورَ دِينِهِ لَا يَكُونُ فَقِيهًا وَلَا طَالِبَ فِقْهٍ. Because the one who does not know the affairs of his religion, he will not be a person of fiqh, and he will not be a student of fiqh likewise. He's not a faqih, he's not somebody who has understanding, and he's not somebody who's seeking understanding likewise. The one who does not seek an understanding, he does not have understanding in his deen, and he's not looking to get an understanding in his deen likewise. So it's very clear. The one who does not have these affairs, so that's correct to describe this person as if no good is intended for him. There's no good intended for him whatsoever. The one who does not have an understanding in the religion, and he's not seeking to have an understanding in the religion, it's very correct and proper to say about him, there's no good intended for him whatsoever. There's no good intended for him whatsoever. We understand this. There's no good intended for him whatsoever. He says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَيَانٌ ظَاهِرٌ لِفَضْلِ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى سَائِرِ النَّاسِ وَلِفَضْلِ تَفَقُّهٍ فِي الدِّينِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْعُلُومِ. He says, likewise in this we see a clear clarification, the virtue of the people of knowledge, the virtue of the ulama. If the sign that Allah wants good for someone is that He will grant them understanding in the religion, then who has the best understanding in the religion? The people of knowledge, the true people of knowledge that are firmly grounded in knowledge and well known for knowledge. And well known for their application of that knowledge and teaching and spreading of that knowledge. Well known for their creed and methodology and their manners and conduct. Well known for this affair. So this is a sign that they're the best of mankind after the prophets and messengers. And then likewise, it comes accordingly. The students of knowledge after them, likewise, those who are truthful and those who are truly upon their way and they're carrying the knowledge properly, also these are the best of mankind. Also, they are the best of mankind after them in this manner like this. It's according to how well one understands the religion. It's according to how well one understands the religion. He says, and likewise, the clarification as well of the virtue of striving to gain an understanding in the religion over the rest of the sciences. Over the rest of the sciences. And even the science of, for example, medicine is beneficial. And the science of engineering is beneficial. And the technology and the likes, these are no doubt beneficial. But better than that, and more virtuous, and more beneficial. And more beneficial is the understanding and the religion. Al-ilm al-shar'i, al-fiqhu fi-d-din, al-fiqhu fi-d-din. And this knowledge is, as he mentioned, obligatory. Obligatory. And we have seen that in the previous class. So now the issue to understand is what is intended by al-fiqhu fi-d-din. What is intended by al-fiqhu fi-d-din? For example, somebody who memorizes a lot of Quran, he memorizes Bulugh al-Maram, for example. Is it considered that he has fiqh in the deen? Is this alone a sign that Allah wants good for him? Is this alone a sign that Allah wants good for him? Somebody who learns a whole lot about Islam. Somebody who learns a lot about Islam, a lot about the rulings, a lot about the Quran. He can recite the Quran fluently and clearly. He memorizes great portions of the Quran. He recites it in the most beautiful manner. And he memorized many narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or of the Salaf. Memorized principles and qawaid and foundations. In fiqh and in the religion, in tafsir and in hadith and in fiqh and the likes like this. Is this here by itself a sign that Allah wants good for someone? a sign that Allah wants good for someone? Is this is what I understood here? That now we have to just start trying to memorize as much knowledge as we can, to memorize as much knowledge as we can, and then if we just have a whole bunch of knowledge in our heart, this is a sign that Allah wants good for us? Is this what is understood from the hadith? Is this what is understood from the hadith? We understand the question? You understand the question? From the great scholars of the Sunnah who have answered this question, at Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his work, Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah. The key to the home of happiness. The key to the home of happiness. That's the title of the book. And this particular work here is Allah Knows Best from the greatest and most complete and beneficial works written about knowledge, about the legislative knowledge, with regards to the clarification of the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the Salaf about the legislative knowledge, mentioning so many different points and aspects of the virtue of knowledge and its people. In this particular work on page 161, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, commenting on the hadith of Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, he says, وَهَذَا يَدُولُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُفَقِّهُ فِي دِينِهِ لَمْ يُرِدْ بِهِ خَيْرًا. He says here that this indicates, this narration indicates that the one whom Allah did not grant him understanding of his deen, then he did not want good for him. كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِهِ خَيْرًا فَقَّهَهُ فِي دِينِهِ. Just as the one whom Allah intends good for, he will grant him understanding in his deen. فَمَنْ فَقَّهَهُ فِي دِينِهِ فَقَدْ أَرَادَ بِهِ خَيْرًا. So therefore, whomsoever Allah grants an understanding in the deen, grants him an understanding in his deen, then indeed he has intended good for him. Then indeed he has intended good for him. إِذَا أُرِيدَ بِالْفِقْهِ الْعِلْمَ الْمُسْتَلْزِمْ لِلْعَمَلِ. This is the case with the condition. We understand? So first he made the point that has preceded, that whomsoever Allah didn't grant understanding in the religion, then this is a sign that Allah, he did not want good for him. Just as whoever Allah wants good for, then he will grant him an understanding of his religion. We understand that part is very clear, right? That understanding is correct if what is intended by understanding in the religion and understanding that will necessitate and bring about action. If what is intended by fiqh here in the deen, understanding in the deen, is that understanding that produces the proper action, then yes, that's what is intended. As for somebody understood contrary to that, like just having lots of knowledge and understanding in the religion outwardly, meaning he memorized lots of affairs in the religion, but he did not apply them, or he did not implement them, or he opposed them, or he left them, that's not what is intended. That's not what is intended. So the point now is what is intended from al-fiqhu fid-deen, al-fiqhu al-muthmiru lil-amil, the type of understanding that produces the beautiful and good actions. The beautiful and good actions. This is the fiqh that if one has it, it's a sign that Allah loves him and wants good for him. It's a sign that Allah loves him and wants good for him. وَأَمَّا إِنْ أُرِيدَ بِهِ مُجَرَّدِ الْعِلْمِ فَلَا يَدُولُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ فَقُهَ فِي الدِّينِ فَقَدْ أُرِيدَ بِهِ خَيْرًا. As for if what is intended here is just simple knowledge, then this does not indicate that the one who has gained an understanding that Allah, he wants good for him. That the one who gains an understanding in the religion, that good is intended for him. He said, فَإِنَّ الْفِقْهَ هِنَا إِذِنْ يَكُونُ شَرْطًا لِإِرَادَةِ الْخَيْرِ وَعَلَى الْأَوَّلِ يَكُونُ مُوجِبًا وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ. He said, because here in this case, having an understanding is a condition that Allah, he wants good for somebody. As for in the first understanding, then it would necessitate and require that Allah, he wants good for him. It would necessitate and require. So if we say that fiqh is just knowledge, we say that having fiqh in the deen, having knowledge of the deen, this is a condition for Allah to want good for someone. It has to be coupled with another condition before it is complete. Rather, before it's truly understood as fiqh in the deen. As fiqh in the deen. So the point's going to come, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, true fiqh in the deen is acting upon knowledge. Is acting upon knowledge. Worshipping Allah upon insight. Just what the author, he was clarifying in our previous class. So the one whom Allah wants good for, he'll grant him understanding in the religion, meaning he will grant him beneficial knowledge and he will guide him to believe in it and to follow it and love it and to prefer it. This is the one whom Allah wants good for. This is the one whom Allah wants good for. So Like this, Ibn Qayyim also, he mentioned some narrations. He mentioned some narrations, and he referred to this narration in a number of places in this work. And from that is the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Tirmidhi. And it's authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, خَصْلَتَانِ لَا تَجْتَمِعَانِ فِي مُنَافِقٍ. There are two traits that will never come together with a hypocrite. With a hypocrite. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حُسْنُ سَمْت وَلَا فِقْهٌ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَا فِقْهٌ فِي الدِّينِ. Having good, noble manners, conduct and demeanor, and understanding in their religion. And understanding in their religion. These two affairs, they'll never be combined in a hypocrite. He will never be a hypocrite if he has understanding in the religion and noble conduct. And noble conduct in manners and character. These two qualities here, they will not be combined in a hypocrite. They'll not be combined in a hypocrite. What is intended from the narration is to encourage the people to strive to have these two characteristics. To strive to have these two characteristics. The point here to mention is that the one who has true fiqh in the deen, this will produce for him the noble and lofty manners and conduct. And it will change his life, and he will stop acting the way that he used to act. He will stop talking the way that he used to talk. He will stop moving the way that he used to move. He will stop walking the way that he used to walk. It will change him entirely. It will change him entirely until now he has upright and noble conduct. Now he has sincerity and he fights himself and he's not showing off and he does not want to be heard. Now he has beautiful speech. Now he's forbearing. Now he's patient. Now he has good opinions about the people, good thoughts about the people. And this is all what will come about from having true understanding in the religion. So these two traits, they're not gathered in a hypocrite. That he will have understanding in the religion and good manners. The point is that it's an encouragement to not have the qualities of the hypocrites, so that we should strive to have these qualities here: understanding in the religion and good and noble manners. And the true understanding in the religion will bring about the noble conduct and manners. And the conduct and manners, they begin with the Lord. They begin with Allah Azza wa Jal, in public and in private, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then likewise with his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunan and laws and legal ways, and likewise with sahaba like as well, and the righteous and the believers, and everyone after that from mankind accordingly, according to the rights that Allah has given them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, this is a great benefit. These things will not be combined in a hypocrite. Husnu samt. What is husnu samt? Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, rahimahullah, innahu taharri tariq al-khayr wa tazayyi bi zayyi as-salihin ma' tanazzuhi an al-ma'ayib al-zahira wal-batina. What this means is that a person, he will pursue the path of goodness to have husn as-samt. As-samt literally means the hay'ah and the demeanor and his conduct and his manners. As-samt yani khuluq wa sira wa tariqah, yani his manners, his conduct, his demeanor, the way that he carries himself. This is called as-samt. It's like al-hadi, likewise al-hadi wa samt. Al-hadyu was-samt, yani al-khuluq wa as-sira wa al-tariqa wa al-hay'ah. Yani his manners, his demeanor, how he carries himself, his conduct. This is something that's encouraged here. Husnu as-samt. So Ibn Hajar, he says this means that a person, he will pursue and he will look for the path of goodness. And he will take on the adornment of the righteous. He will take on the adornment of the righteous. Yani outwardly, the people of piety and righteousness, at the head of them, the people of knowledge, they have a manner they carry themselves. They have a manner they carry themselves. They have limits that they abide by, the limits of the Quran and the Sunnah, and their outward appearance and the manner that they carry themselves, the manners that they speak and they walk and they talk. They're not reckless, they're not heedless, they're not harsh, they're not rude. So the one who has good husn samt, he will strive to be like them. He will strive to imitate them, to move like them, to have conduct like them, to have manners like them, to have a demeanor like them, to carry himself like them with nobility, not with recklessness, not with harshness, not with rudeness, not with vulgarness, not with foulness or being vain and indecent and the likes like this, foul tongue, lowly manners, and harsh. They will not be like this, along with purifying the inside and the outside from all defects. So then he will outwardly have the noble conduct and the noble appearance, and likewise inwardly he will strive to purify his soul from the defects and the deficiencies. This is what it means to have husn as-samt. So from the signs of misguidance and ignorance, jahl, the opposite of fiqh in the deen, is that a person, he will not have husn samt. He will not have a good demeanor. He will not have good manners. He will not have good conduct. He will not have good speech. He'll not be able to check his tongue. He'll not be able to check his emotions. When his emotions rile up, he'll just run off with them, and he will speak and yell and scream and snap and talk rude or act hastily or be reckless and move quickly and speak sharply all the time. So he will not have this good and noble demeanor because he does not have knowledge. Had he had knowledge, and had that knowledge been beneficial for him, it would refine all of that and remove it and purify it and make him better, make him forbearing, make him kind, make him gentle, make him strong at the same time and firm, make him firm. So this is the case. ولا فقه في الدين, ولا فقه في الدين. It has been mentioned in the explanation of this narration in Tuhfa al-Ahwazi, because the hadith is in Jami' Tirmidhi. So from the well-known explanations of this work, it's mentioned, وَلَا فِقْهٌ فِي الدِّينِ حَقِيقَةُ الْفِقْهِ فِي الدِّينِ مَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. The reality of true understanding in the religion is that which falls into the heart. ثُمَّ ظَهَرَ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ. And then it's apparent on the tongue. فَأَفَادَ الْعَمَلِ وَأَوْرَثَ الْخَشَّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And therefore it brings about the benefit of action and also produces fear and piety. This is true fiqh in the deen. So again, we read this benefit about the true reality of al-fiqh, understanding in the religion. حَقِيقَةُ الْفِقْهِ فِي الدِّينِ مَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقَلْبِ ثُمَّ ظَهَرَ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ فَأَفَادَ الْعَمَلِ وَأَوْرَثَ الْخَشَّةَ وَالتَّقْوَى. He said the reality of true understanding in the religion is that which will sink into the heart. And then it will be apparent on the tongue and bring about action and produce fear of Allah and piety. So this is the reality of fiqh in the deen. So the one who has fiqh in the deen, but it did not sink into his heart, even if it's apparent on his tongue, it cannot produce fear of Allah and piety. Because the fear of Allah and piety is in the heart. So the fruit of the true fiqh, thamaratu al-fiqh, al-taqwa wal-khashya. Al-khashya wa-taqwa. If the understanding in the religion, if the knowledge of the deen, if the tawheed really, truly goes into the heart, it will produce these fruits. Number one, the fear of Allah, khashya. And number two, al-taqwa, piety. It will produce fear and piety. So even if a person, he had lots of knowledge, but it's not seen from him any fear nor piety, not in his manners, not in his conduct, not in his dealings, not in his transactions, not in the way he walks or talks or drives his vehicle down the road, not in any of these affairs. He if you see him any somewhere, you think that he's one of the laymen or the normal, or maybe in our lands, maybe you think he's not even a Muslim until you pull up on him. Oh, that's our brother. Yes, subhanallah, acting a fool because the knowledge did not sink into the heart, still being reckless. Still being crazy, still not caring about other people, not thinking about anything except oneself, and the likes like this. So this all will change whenever the knowledge sinks into the heart. When it sinks into the heart, it will produce, like he's saying here, the true fiqh and understanding. It will be apparent on the tongue, and a person, he will speak about that knowledge and talk about it, and also it will be apparent on his tongue and how he checks and controls his tongue, and it will produce action and bring about fear of Allah and piety, true fear of Allah and piety, fear and reverence of Allah and piety. He says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِي يَتَدَارَسُ أَبْوَابًا مِّنْهُ لِيَتَعَزَّزَ بِهِ وَيَتَآكَلَ بِهِ فَإِنَّهُ بِمَعْزَلٍ عَنْ الرُّتْبَةِ الْعُذْمَى الرُّتْبَةِ الْعُذْمَى. He says, as for the one who studies and seeks knowledge and different aspects of knowledge in order to overpower people, to have honor or dignity over people in order to use it as a means to get the worldly life, then indeed this person is far from that lofty status. He's far from that great and lofty status. He says, لأن الفقه تعلق بلسانه دون قلبه. Because this person here, the fiqh, the understanding, it was only related to his tongue and not to his heart. It was only related to his tongue and not to his heart. So the true knowledge is the knowledge that will go into the heart. The knowledge that will go into the heart. There are things that prohibit the knowledge from going into the heart. And from the greatest affairs that prohibit the heart from benefiting from the knowledge are the sins. We have seen this in our previous classes. The sins. The sins that make the heart hard. They make the heart hard to where it will not be able to benefit from the knowledge. Just like the land. The lands that become very hard they become very hard. The water comes down and runs away. It does not produce any fruits, any crops, any vegetables, any herbs, any benefit for the land and for the people, for itself and for others, because it's too hard. Because it's too hard. It's not a land that's beneficial for this, for cultivation and producing fruits and benefit. As for the land that is soft and toiled and is taken care of and it's clean and there's no weeds, there's no filth, then the knowledge comes. And in that heart that's in this manner, like this land, whenever the knowledge comes, it will produce these beautiful fruits about ikhlas, about siddiq, al-khashya, al-taqwa, al-tawakkul, al-ragba, al-rahba. All of these, it will produce these fruits, the fruits of sincere faith, al-iman, al-sadiq. It will produce these fruits of sincere faith and fear of Allah and trust and reliance upon Allah, and he will benefit from the knowledge. He will benefit from the knowledge. As for the one whom his heart is hard from sins and from turning away from the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the knowledge will stay on his tongue. It will stay on his tongue. And the people, they say that someone can fool some of the people some of the time, but he cannot fool all of the people all of the time. So the likes of these people who have this claim to knowledge or the likes, but they're not sincere, then it will begin to show. It will begin to show, especially for those who have knowledge and they're aware of the traits of those who carry their knowledge truthfully and those who have deficiency in their intention. The author is going to mention this issue in the end of this chapter. Bi'idnillahi ta'ala, we take that. So after this, likewise, there are more benefits from Ibn Qayyim with regards to this topic. We discuss them in our class tomorrow. The issue of the importance of coupling knowledge with action, and the status of action with regards to knowledge. Talking here about the obligation of seeking knowledge. But why is that an obligation? This is clarified in the previous class. The author, he mentioned the most beautiful interpretation of that, the most beautiful understanding of that. To summarize it again, why is it an obligation to seek knowledge? Why will we set on the path to seek knowledge? Because we believe in Allah. Because we believe in Allah. He is our Lord. He is our Creator. He is our Provider. He is our Sustainer. And He did not leave us here without any purpose. He did not leave us here without any purpose. Rather, He sent to us prophets and messengers. Alayhi salatu wasalam, and He sent guidance and revelation. And we believe in Allah and we believe in His messengers and prophets, all of them. Alayhi salatu wasalam, and we believe that the seal and the final prophet and messenger is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe in the revelation that was revealed to him from the Quran and the Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that in that revelation is guidance, clarifying the obligations that Allah has called us to perform in obedience to Him. And He has promised us that if we perform them, He will be pleased with us and He will grant us paradise and the Jannah. And He has promised those people whom he grants paradise and Jannah, that he will let them see him. So this is very important, to learn knowledge of how to get to see Allah, to learn the knowledge of how to reach the Jannah, where you will be able to see the one who created you in the womb of your mother. This is why we seek knowledge. This is an obligation. This obligation, this amazing affair. So this is why we seek knowledge. We seek knowledge for action. We seek knowledge so that we can learn that which is pleasing to Allah, so that we can do it. So that we can do it. There are obligations Allah has placed upon us in all aspects of our life, beginning with our hearts. Beginning with our hearts. The obligation of it, tawheed. And there are prohibitions likewise related to every aspect of our life, beginning with our hearts. The prohibition of shirk. The prohibition of holding animosity and anger and hatred for the believers. The prohibition of jealousy and envy. Many commandments and prohibitions with regards to the heart. And likewise with regards to the rest of the body parts, the eyes and the ears specifically. And also in the rest of the aspects of life. Those who learn these affairs in order to apply them, and then they strive against their souls to apply them, these are from the one whom Allah, He wants good for, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the one who learns them but does not apply them, or he did not learn them, then this is the one that he's from amongst those whom Allah, He did not want good for. The issue now here, this class is stemming from the topic of returning back to the religion. And again, we've seen many Muslims, alhamdulillah, in reality, they're striving to return back to the religion. Allah has placed it in their heart. Allah has guided them. Allah has inspired them to have care and concern for their religion. and learning about the deen. But many times we find that a lot of them, they're not actually implementing that and applying that in the manner required. Rather, they're just learning. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.